This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Islam is a convert. He was a public speaker while he was in his Jahiliyyah time. And he is also a speaker while he is a Muslim. Yusha Evans has been with us here before. He has been talking on various talks. And today's topic, actually, it has excited me. And it is about the person who killed the 99 people. So, are we going to hear today about the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and the circumstances which led to this person repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we leave inshallah to Yusha Evans and give us this talk. Jazakumullah khair.
Sounds like everybody's already went to sleep. I haven't started yet. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nastaghfiruhu, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina, wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudhillalah, wa man yudlil fala hadiyalah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وختام النبيين ورحمة للعالمين وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه بسراج منير أما بعد. إن شاء الله تعالى, we're just going to tell you a story today, and it's my pleasure again to be here with you all. As you know, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, "من لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس." Whoever does not thank the people does not thank Allah. So again, جزاكم الخير for the invitation. I think Homestead is pretty much my second home now, alhamdulillah. Man la yashkur al-nas, man la yashkur Allah. I reversed it, forgive me. I've been suffering from my sinus infection, so if I am out of it, please forgive me. I want to tell you a story that is preceded by something I mentioned upon my last time here, when Brother Ibrahim Downing was here. I spoke for about 2 minutes before he got here about the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the story we will discuss today is paramount to our understanding of how Allah Azza wa Jal's relationship with His creation in terms of His mercy. Because one thing that has not been portrayed to the world, and to Muslims in particular, is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal properly. Usually, we hear about Allah through threats. Growing up as children, and I wasn't born and raised as a Muslim, but I've been Muslim long enough now, almost 14 years, alhamdulillah, to know what goes on. I've visited enough continents and enough Muslim countries and been with enough families, have my own family, to know what happens. Allah is mentioned as a threat to us most of the time as a child. Right? Don't do this, Allah will punish you. Don't do this, Allah is going to punish you. Allah doesn't like this. Allah will throw you in hell. Allah will catch you. Allah is watching. Everything is fear, fear, fear. Our fear of Allah comes at the end of the stick, at the end of the ul. You guys all know the ul. You know when Hoyu gets to ul, you know what's about to happen. And that's how the fear of Allah is instilled into us. But one thing that has really, really been a detriment is that we have not been taught that Allah Azza wa Jal, yes, He has His retribution. He is just. He is vengeful. And His vengeance is swift and it is quick. And His punishment is adabun aleem. It is severe. But Allah's wish is to forgive. His wish to His creation is to forgive. He wants to forgive. He loves to forgive. Like when Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if we find Laylat al-Qadr, what should we do? What should we say? She said that he told her to say, "Oh Allah, you are the forgiving and you love to forgive, so forgive me." Beautiful statement. And this story tonight, inshaAllah ta'ala, will be an epitome of that idea that Allah loves to forgive. This story, you can find it in the collection of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. Also Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, relates it in Bidayah wa Nahayah. It's about a man who had killed 99 people. He had murdered, cold-blooded murdered 99 people. But there was something inside of him, because Allah Azza wa Jal has placed inside of all of his slaves, every single human being, he has placed within them a fitrah. And that fitrah is always there. Even they may disguise it or guise it over or reject it, that fitrah stays there. And it will poke at every human being at some point in their life. And so this man's fitrah started to poke at him, knowing that this is wrong, that there is something I need to change in my life. I want to change. Every human being comes to that point at some time in their life. They might reject it or overlook it or pass it over, but every human being reaches this stage. So this man decided to do something about his conscience. His conscience was bothering him. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the conscience is given to us by Allah to know good from evil. That is instilled within us. So this man went to the people and said, tell me the most devout of you. The most devout of you, the closest to Allah of you, I need to ask him something. So they sent him to the best abbot they could find, the best worshipper they knew, the guy who worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal without ceasing. Prayed all day, fasted all night, etc. So on and so forth. I mean, prayed all night, fasted all day. I have dyslexia today, I think, from my sinus infection. So he went to this abbot and told him, I have killed 99 people. Do you think there's any forgiveness for me? The man, the abbot, told him, no. There's no forgiveness for you. You've done too much. You've committed too much sin. There's nothing for you. There's nothing for you. So the man said, if I can't be forgiven, then I might as well just kill you too. So he killed that man and made it even 100. He killed the abbot and made it even 100. You see, this is the problem for people who speak without knowledge. The man was an abbot. He was a worshipper of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He may have even had some close connection with Allah. But that didn't give him the right to speak without knowledge. Didn't give him the right to speak without knowledge. Speaking without knowledge is one of the most dangerous things we can do as a Muslim. Because we can lead people astray. Not only did he lead that man astray, he himself ended up losing his own life over just saying something that he had no basis of knowledge upon. So the man killed him and went on about his business. But again, that fitrah poked at him. That innate conscience poked at him that there has to be some way for me to change. There has to be something better than this life that I'm living. So he asked for the most knowledgeable man. He said, send me to the most knowledgeable man for you. If the best worshiper can't figure it out, maybe the most knowledgeable of you can figure it out. So he was sent to the alim. He was sent to the alim, the scholar. He was sent to the knowledgeable one of the time. He went to the knowledgeable man and told him what had happened. I've killed 100 people, including the best worshipper of you. The best worshipper of you, I killed him too in the end. Is there any forgiveness for me? What did the scholar tell him? The man of knowledge told him, what is there that stands between you and the forgiveness of Allah? Is there anything that can stand between you and being forgiven by Allah? No. There's nothing. There's nothing except we as of know a few things, outright shirk, so on and so forth, that can stand between you and the forgiveness of Allah. Allah can forgive you. He said, but you need to change. For tawbah to be accepted, you have the first step, you have this sincere, repentant heart. But now you need to make the tawbah and you need to make some change. You need to leave this place. The Prophet ﷺ also recommended Muslims to do that. That if you can't find peace and sanctity and safety in your deen, and it's too much fitna for you in one place, go to another place. Go to another place. Allah's earth is huge. And Allah says this in the Quran. When they will say that we are oppressed in our land, Allah will tell them, was the earth not spacious enough for you? So he told him, you need to leave and go to a place. And there is a place here where there are people who will help you be better. It's a good town, a good city. You can get away from your life of murdering and crime and indecency, but you need to get out of this place. So the man left and began his journey to this new place, to start a new life, to fulfill his tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal, to return to Allah, repent to Allah, make amends with his creator, and start something different. Now, on the way to this town, he died. He died on the way. He never made it where he was going. Now, when he died, two angels came down. the angel of mercy and the angel of wrath. And they both debated over who should take him. The angel of mercy said that I should take him because he was on his way. He was on his way to repent and to make amends. Therefore, I take him. The angel of wrath said, no, he didn't make it. He never completed his task. Who knows what he was doing? Then this mother loves her child. But most of them are so desirous of going into the fire. Then Allah loves every single creation more than a mother loves her own child. He does not want any of them to go to the fire. Every single creation that Allah created, every single human being Allah created, He created them to worship Him and to dwell in Jannah, where their forefathers dwelt. But He also gave human beings a free will and gave them the right to choose and said He would not meddle with that free will. He's not going to get involved. He will send guidance and messengers and then leave it to you. It's your choice. But Allah said that His mercy would always overcome His anger. His desire is to forgive. So one thing I want to finish with, brothers and sisters. All of us have done a lot of sin in our lives. And I'm probably the worst perpetrator in this building. And many of us have come to a point to where we feel like we've done too much. We've done too much sin. I've committed too much sin. I've been too bad for too long. Maybe you've been off the straight path for a while. Maybe there was a period of your life you weren't on your deen like you were supposed to, and you did so many things that you were regretful for. And I know that there are times in your life where tawbah doesn't even seem real to you. You don't want to stand in front of Allah and ask Him to forgive you for something that you don't think you really should be forgiven for. I know we've all been there. I know we've all been there. But one thing I will tell you right now, that is the greatest trick shaitan will ever play on you. That is the greatest trick shaitan will ever play on you. And getting you to think that you can't be forgiven. Because shaitan knows very well that forgiveness is for everything except shirk. He knows it very well. Forgiveness is for everyone that says, Ya Allah, I have wronged my own soul. If you forgive me and have mercy upon me. If you don't forgive me and have mercy upon me, I will indeed be one of the losers. The Prophet was the best of us, right? The best of us. The best human being alive. He said, by Allah, I repent to my Creator at least 100 times every single day. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repented to Allah 100 times a day. He was the best of us. When he used to stand and pray at night, his feet would become swollen and cracked. Aisha radiallahu anha asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why do you do this to yourself? Don't you know that Allah has already forgiven your previous and future sins? That Allah has forgiven you for everything already. Why do this? Why put yourself through this? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Should I not be a grateful slave then? If Allah has forgiven me, should I not be grateful? Who were the best of us? Do you know who the best of the companions were? Who were the best of the companions? Give me some names. Abu Bakr. Wa Umar. Wa Uthman. Wa Ali. Wa Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Wa Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Wa Ibn Abbas. Wa Ibn Mas'ud. You know what is synonymous about most of them? The Prophet ﷺ said, and this is narrated by Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman was sitting by a well one day, and the Prophet ﷺ was resting. And Abu Bakr came and asked for permission to enter. And he asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr is here. Can he come in? He said, let him in. Why? And then he said, because Abu Bakr fi Jannah. Abu Bakr is in Jannah. Abu Bakr is in paradise. Then Umar came. He said, let him in. Umar is in Jannah. Then Uthman came. He came in. He said, Umar is in Jannah. SubhanAllah, these men were guaranteed by Allah in their lifetime that they will go to Jannah. They were told by the Messenger of Allah, you are in Jannah. Did it stop them from working? Did it stop them from striving? Did it stop them from achieving? No. Abu Bakr became the first Amir al-Mu'mineen. He became the leader of the believers after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became the best of us. The best of us. And even Allah's own soul. Your sin does not harm Allah in the least. Your sin does not decrease Allah in the least. Your sin does not make Allah any less than who He is in the least. The only person who gets any detriment from the sins you commit are you. Your children don't get the sins. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother your wife. It doesn't bother your parents, your neighbors, no one. The sins that you perform harm you. Correct? Yes or no? Unless you go and hurt somebody or things of that nature. But the sins between you and Allah harm only you. Harm only you. So Allah taught them to come back to Him. Say, "My Lord, indeed I have wronged my own soul. If you don't forgive me and have mercy upon me, indeed I will be a loser." That is the premise of life in Islam. That is the solution to all of our problems in Islam. Return to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do you know that every single religion in the world has deviated trying to solve this problem? Almost every religion in the world has gone astray trying to solve this problem of how to fix sin. Christianity said that there can be no sin forgiven without sacrifice. Therefore, the whole Jesus methodology comes in. Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Taoism, Wiccan, all of these religions want to atone for this life. They're trying to find a way to fix the problems that we know we have as human beings in this life. And the problem is that you can't fix it. You can't fix it. You cannot repay Allah for the sins you have committed. You can't. Because Allah gave you a pure soul and you muddled it. You can't give that back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But what you can do is return to Allah and let Allah know that, "Look, if you don't forgive me, if you don't have mercy on me, I know I'm a loser. I know I'm a loser in this life and in the next." And guess what you do? You perform one of the greatest acts of ibadah that you can. You perform one of the greatest acts of ibadah that you can as a human being. Because you truly acknowledge that you need Allah. You truly acknowledge that you need Allah. Because you realize that, if you don't forgive me, I have nothing else. I'm not going to make it in this life or the next. If you give me everything in this life, if you give me a beautiful home, cars, money, bank accounts, beautiful wife, children, but you don't forgive me, min al-khasirin, from the losers. I am from the losers. I am min al-khasirin. I am a loser in the next life. When we realize that as human beings, we reach into the highest echelon of creation. We reach into the highest echelon of creation. Because Allah Azza wa Jal knew that you would commit sin. Because the Prophet ﷺ said two things. Number one, he said, every son of Adam sins. Every son of Adam sins. Every son of Adam sins. But the best of those who sin are those who repent. The best of those who sin are those that repent. And he also said something very beautiful. That if none of you sinned, if none of you sinned, for those of you who are striving to be sinless, give it up. Give it up. It's not going to happen. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, if none of you sinned, Allah would erase you. Allah would remove you and replace you with a people who would sin and then repent to Him so that He could forgive them. Because you have to understand, Allah told the angels, "I know what you do not know. I know what you don't know. I'm going to create this Khalifa. He's going to bring about a generation that will shed blood and cause mischief. Yes, you're right. But I know what you don't know. Yes, you praise me day and night. The angels are hardwired to praise Allah. The angels don't disobey Allah. They fulfill the commands of Allah. Allah's grandeur can be seen through that which He has created. The heavens and the earth bear witness of Allah's power, Allah's might, that Allah is Al-Qawi, that Allah is Al-Aziz. That Allah is Al-Khaliq. We can see that. With the creation of the angels, Allah's majesty can be seen because angels were created in forms we can't begin to imagine. But Allah knew one thing. That Allah could not be Ar-Rahman. He could not be Ar-Rahim. He could not be Al-Ghafoor, Al-Wadud, Al-Latif, Al-Subur. If He didn't create something that could disobey Him. You know, if I didn't create this insan, this Khalifa, that would be a vicegerent for me on the earth, and they would commit sin, and I can turn and forgive them, my true might is unknown. My true might is unknown. Because Allah, we know the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah, before creating creation, took an oath upon Himself. And what was His oath that He took upon Himself?
His mercy is greater than
then my mercy will always overcome my anger. How could Allah show mercy to something that He didn't give the capacity to disobey? How could Allah be merciful to a creation that did not have the capacity to disobey Him? Yes, you had the jinn there, but we're talking about this creation of insan. We live in the creation of insan. We are human beings. Allah created this Khalifa, gave him vicegerency on the earth, dominion over the earth, so that Allah's true might and power could be seen. That when people sinned, they could come back to Him and repent, and He could show His great might that He could forgive. Yes, He can punish you, and He has the right to punish you for every sin you've committed. If Allah were to hold you accountable for every sin you committed on the Day of Judgment, you couldn't blame anyone but you. Because Allah told you right and wrong. He gave you guidance. He sent you messengers. He sent you a book. He gave you a prophet. If you sin, that's on you. Allah could punish you for it. But Allah shows His true majesty when He is able to forgive it. When He's able to forgive it. There will be a couple of people on the Day of Judgment. SubhanAllah. This just goes to show you how much Allah wants to forgive you. How much Allah is desirous to forgive you more than He wants to punish you. There will be two people on the Day of Judgment being dragged towards hellfire. The angels will be dragging them about to throw them off into the abyss. And this is some of the ilm al-ghaib the Prophet ﷺ gave us. They were going to be dragged into the abyss. And one of them will say, or actually the first of them, the hellfire will withdraw from him. The hellfire will actually move back. And Allah will ask the hellfire, what is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? Hell will say, Ya Allah, he is seeking refuge from me in you. He is seeking refuge in you from me. SubhanAllah. Even being dragged towards the hellfire, he knows Allah has condemned him. He is still seeking refuge in you from me. Allah will say, release my slave. Let him go. Let him go. There will be another man who will be being dragged towards hellfire. And he will say, Ya Allah, my Lord, I did not expect this from you. My Lord, I didn't expect this from you. And Allah will say, my slave, what did you expect from me? You committed all these sins. What did you expect from me? He will say, I expected that your mercy could even reach someone like me. Allah will tell the angels, let my slave go. Let my slave go. He is called upon me with my mercy. Let him go. Let him go. The man who committed so much sin in his life, he told his family, we know this very famous hadith, he told his family, when I die, burn me. Burn me into ashes. And take half of those ashes and throw them in the ocean. And take the other half of the ashes and throw them in across the land. Because I am afraid that if Allah catches me together, He's going to punish me. Now on the Day of Judgment, Allah put him together. The same way He created him from nothing, Allah put him together. And asked him, why did you do what you did? Why did you do what you did? That slave will say, Ya Allah, you know why I did what I did. I knew that if you ever caught me, you would punish me. For that, Allah forgave him. For that fear of Allah's punishment, and that understanding that Allah will hold him accountable for his sin, Allah Azza wa Jalla forgave. You see, brothers and sisters, there's one thing that we can't comprehend. We can't comprehend Allah's forgiveness. You can't comprehend the mercy of Allah. It's unquantifiable. We don't even understand how it works. We don't understand what Allah will forgive you for, how you're going to be forgiven, how great that forgiveness is for the amount of deeds that you do. You never know what thing that you do that could cause Allah to forgive everything that you've done. You don't know. But one thing that we are assured of as a Muslim is that a believer cannot despair of the mercy of Allah. We never are despairing of the mercy of Allah. We never come to a point to say, Allah can't forgive me. Because the moment you say that, you have gone astray. You have gone astray. Because when you say that Allah's mercy cannot forgive you, you limit someone who's limitless. You limit a Allah who is limitless. And everything about Him is limitless. When Allah says He is Ar-Rahman, that means He has a mercy that has no limit that you can quantify. When Allah says He is Al-Ghafoor, He is forgiving, that means His forgiveness has no limits that you can understand. But we also know that Allah, when He says that He is the swift in punishment, that He is just, Al-Adl, His justice is limitless that we can understand. So we know that Allah will punish us if He wills. But His desire is to forgive. The companions were once sitting around a fire with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, during this time, Jibril Alayhi Salaam came and decided to give them the solution. Told them that Allah Azza wa Jal has said for you to measure the place from which he was leaving to where he is now, and the place from where he is now to the place to which he is going. Whichever distance is shorter, that is the angel that will take him. If he is closer to where he was coming from, then the angel of wrath will take him. If he is closer to where he was going, the angel of mercy will take him. Now, do you know where he died closer to, actually? Those of you who heard the story? He died closer to the town he left. He died closer to the town he left. And had they measured like that, the angel of wrath would have taken him. Now, could Allah Azza wa Jal cause him to die anywhere along that road? Yes. But Allah willed that he die closer to the town that he was leaving. But when the angels started to measure, Allah Azza wa Jal gave a command to the earth. He told the earth to shrink itself. He told the earth to shrink itself, fold over, so that when they measure, the distance would be shorter from where he was going. And they found him shorter to the place where he was going, and the angel of mercy took him. Now, why is this story so important? The story is so important because Allah Azza wa Jal could have made the man die closer to the town from which he was going, or to where he was going, and would have made the process much simpler. Allah could have willed that. But Allah willed him to die closer to the town he was leaving, just so this story could make it to you and I. Just so that the story could come to you and I, that Allah Azza wa Jal loves to forgive so much that He changed the entire physics of the earth. He changed the entire physical compound of the earth just to forgive this one man. This one man, who was not a great man, who was a man who had killed 100 people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went out of his way to change the entire dimensions of the earth as they were known to forgive this one single man who was not even a great man. What does this show us? This shows us that sin and forgiveness have a special relationship when it comes to the insan and Allah Azza wa Jal. And this relationship is something that has been known since the beginning. This relationship is a part of who we are. Let me ask you all a question. And raise your hand. How many of you in this room have committed a sin in your life? You've done a sin. If your hand doesn't go up, then we apparently have some angels in the room with us tonight. Because if you are a human being, you are going to sin. That is guaranteed. It is guaranteed. It has been guaranteed since the beginning. Did you know that? It has been guaranteed since the beginning. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create Adam, alayhi salam, and Allah records it for us in Surah Al-Baqarah. In the beginning of the Quran, Allah records it for us. What does Allah say? Allah says, and we said to the angels, and remember when we said to the angels what? إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا. I am going to create on the earth a khalifa. Now this khalif is a special title. Allah gave Adam alayhi salam a special title. I am going to create a khalifa on earth. A khalifa. My vicegerent, my representative, something special I'm about to put on earth. What did the angels say? This was a debate that happened between Allah Azza wa Jal and the angels. The angels responded, our Lord, will you place on it one who will shed blood and cause mischief while we celebrate your praises day and night? Now, the angels had some insight. They knew us. Mischief. They said that this khalifa you're going to create is going to cause mischief. Did we cause mischief? Have we caused mischief? Absolutely. We are the mischief makers. The human being is the mischief maker on earth. The human being and the jinn, we make mischief. This is our identity. What about shedding blood? Did we shed blood? How long was it before we shed blood? First son of Adam, alayhi salam. First son of Adam, alayhi salam, shed blood. And not only did he shed blood, he shed his own brother's blood. The angels knew what this Khalifa was capable of and what would come out of him. What did Allah Azza wa Jalla tell him? And the angel said, look, if you want to be praised, Ya Allah, we praise you. We glorify you day, night, without ceasing. We don't disobey you. We are hardwired. We are pre-programmed to worship you forever. What did Allah respond to them by saying? He didn't give them an answer. He didn't explain it to them. He didn't tell them why. He said, إِنِّي عَلَمُ مَلَا تَعْلَمُ. I know what you don't know. I know what you do not know. I know what you don't know. Because, you see, Allah Azza wa Jalla had some special preparations for Adam alayhi salam. He had a special place for Adam. And where was that? Jannah. He placed Adam in Jannah. And then he made from him his wife Eve. Placed them both in Jannah. And in Jannah he told them, you can partake of anything you wish. Enjoy everything except for this one tree. This one tree, don't touch it. Stay away from it. Now, in Allah's infinite wisdom, did Allah Azza wa Jal know placing that tree in the garden was going to be a test? Did he know this? Yes, he knew of it. Now, Adam and Eve alayhi salam were tempted by Shaytan. And Shaytan was an avowed enemy to this Khalifa since the beginning. Since the beginning, before even Allah asked him to bow down to it, Shaytan was already an avowed enemy. When he saw Adam alayhi salam in his clay form, before Allah had even given him life, Shaytan already had enmity. Because he saw the care that Allah was giving to this creation. He saw the honor that Allah was placing upon this insan. He was already with jealousy and envy and hatred. So Shaytan had one goal, and one goal alone. And what was that? Does anyone know the goal Shaytan had? He told Allah what his goal was. He said, I will come to them from before them, from behind them, from the left, from the right, to do what? To prove to you that they are ungrateful. To prove to you that this Khalifa that you created will be ungrateful to you. They will not show gratitude to you for what you have given them. I will prove it to you. So Shaytan came to Adam and Eve and convinced them to do what? To eat from this tree. To eat from this tree. And when they ate from this tree, Allah Azza wa Jal told them, get down. You've done the one thing I asked you not to do, now you have to get down from here. Jannah is no longer your dwelling place. Get down from here to the earth, for you will dwell there for a time. But they will come from me. They will come from me in your succeeding generations' guidance. And whosoever follows that guidance, they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve. And whosoever turns away from this guidance, then for them is a painful punishment. Now, did Allah Azza wa Jalla not already know that Adam and Eve were going to eat from this tree? Question, I'm asking, it's not rhetorical. Did Allah already know Adam and Eve would eat from this tree?
Yes.
Allah knows everything. Allah knew before creating anything that He was going to put that tree in Jannah, He was going to place Adam and Eve there, and they would partake of that which He told them not to do. He knew it. Remember, Allah told the angels, إِنِّي عَلَمُ مَلَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you don't know. Now, when Adam and Eve alayhi salam ate from this tree, and they got down, Allah Azza wa Jal taught them something. And this became the most important thing the human beings would ever learn. What Allah taught Adam and Eve at this point became the most important thing human beings would ever learn. What did He teach them? What did He teach them?
Names of things.
No, that was before. That was before He got down. What did He teach them after they ate from the tree? He taught them some words. What were those words? Anybody in here know? My Lord, I have wronged my own soul. If you do not forgive me and have mercy upon me, indeed I will be one of the losers. SubhanAllah. You see, brothers and sisters, this is it. That is it. This is the most important thing that will ever be taught to humanity. Do you know why? Do you know why this is the most important thing humanity would ever learn? Because without those words, humanity would never have a chance to go back to where we started. We began in Jannah, and without those words, we would never go back. Without those words, we could never go back. Because Allah says, once the sin has been committed, this place is no longer for you. Once you've made the mistake, Jannah is for the pure. Jannah is for the pure. So get down from here. But I will show you how to get back. I will show you how to get back. So, during this time, Jibril alayhi salam came and decided to give them the solution. Told them that Allah Azza wa Jal has said for you to measure the place from which he was leaving to where he is now, and the place from where he is now to the place to which he is going. Whichever distance is shorter, that is the angel that will take him. If he is closer to where he was coming from, then the angel of wrath will take him. If he's closer to where he was going, the angel of mercy will take him. Now, do you know where he died closer to, actually? Those of you who heard the story? He died closer to the town he left. He died closer to the town he left. And had they measured like that, the angel of wrath would have taken him. Now, could Allah Azza wa Jal cause him to die anywhere along that road? Yes. But Allah willed that he die closer to the town that he was leaving. But when the angels started to measure, Allah Azza wa Jal gave a command to the earth. He told the earth to shrink itself. He told the earth to shrink itself, fold over, so that when they measure, the distance would be shorter from where he was going. And they found him shorter to the place where he was going, and the angel of mercy took him. Now, why is this story so important? The story is so important because Allah Azza wa Jal could have made the man die closer to the town from which he was going, or to where he was going, and would have made the process much simpler. Allah could have willed that. But Allah willed him to die closer to the town he was leaving, just so this story could make it to you and I. Just so that the story could come to you and I, that Allah Azza wa Jal loves to forgive so much that He changed the entire physics of the earth. He changed the entire physical compound of the earth just to forgive this one man. This one man, who was not a great man, who was a man who had killed 100 people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went out of His way to change the entire dimensions of the earth as they were known to forgive this one single man who was not even a great man. What does this show us? This shows us that sin and forgiveness have a special relationship when it comes to the insan and Allah Azza wa Jal. And this relationship is something that has been known since the beginning. This relationship is a part of who we are. Let me ask you all a question. And raise your hand. How many of you in this room have committed a sin in your life? You've done a sin. If your hand doesn't go up, then we apparently have some angels in the room with us tonight. Because if you are a human being, you are going to sin. That is guaranteed. It is guaranteed. It has been guaranteed since the beginning. Did you know that? It has been guaranteed since the beginning. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create Adam, alayhi salam, and Allah records it for us in Surah Al-Baqarah. In the beginning of the Quran, Allah records it for us. What does Allah say? Allah says, and we said to the angels, and remember when we said to the angels what? إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا. I am going to create on the earth a khalifa. Now this khalif is a special title. Allah gave Adam alayhi salam a special title. I am going to create a khalifa on earth. A khalifa. My vicegerent, my representative, something special I'm about to put on earth. What did the angels say? This was a debate that happened between Allah Azza wa Jalla and the angels. The angels responded, our Lord, will you place on it one who will shed blood and cause mischief while we celebrate your praises day and night? Now, the angels had some insight. They knew us. They knew us. Mischief. They said that this Khalifa you're going to create is going to cause mischief. Did we cause mischief? Have we caused mischief? Absolutely. We are the mischief makers. The human being is the mischief maker on earth. The human being and the jinn, we make mischief. This is our identity. What about shedding blood? Did we shed blood? How long was it before we shed blood? First son of Adam, alayhi salam. First son of Adam, alayhi salam, shed blood. And not only did he shed blood, he shed his own brother's blood. The angels knew. The angels knew what this Khalifa was capable of. And what would come out of him. What did Allah Azza wa Jalla tell him? And the angel said, look, if you want to be praised, Ya Allah, we praise you. We glorify you day, night, without ceasing. We don't disobey you. We are hardwired. We are pre-programmed to worship you forever. What did Allah respond to them by saying? He didn't give them an answer. He didn't explain it to them. He didn't tell them why. He said, إِنِّي عَلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. I know what you don't know. I know what you do not know. I know what you don't know. Because, you see, Allah Azza wa Jalla had some special preparations for Adam alayhi salam. He had a special place for Adam. And where was that? Jannah. He placed Adam in Jannah. And then he made from him his wife Eve. Placed them both in Jannah. And in Jannah he told them, you can partake of anything you wish. Enjoy everything except for this one tree. This one tree, don't touch it. Stay away from it. Now, in Allah's infinite wisdom, did Allah Azza wa Jal know placing that tree in the garden was going to be a test? Did he know this? Yes, he knew of it. Now, Adam and Eve alayhi salam were tempted by shaitan. And shaitan was an avowed enemy to this Khalifa since the beginning. Since the beginning, before even Allah asked him to bow down to it, Shaytan was already an avowed enemy. When he saw Adam alayhi salam in his clay form, before Allah had even given him life, Shaytan already had enmity. Because he saw the care that Allah was giving to this creation. He saw the honor that Allah was placing upon this insan. He was already with jealousy and envy and hatred. So Shaytan had one goal, and one goal alone. And what was that? Does anyone know the goal Shaitan had? He told Allah what his goal was. He said, I will come to them from before them, from behind them, from the left, from the right, to do what? To prove to you that they are ungrateful. To prove to you that this Khalifa that you created will be ungrateful to you. They will not show gratitude to you for what you have given them. I will prove it to you. So Shaitan came to Adam and Eve and convinced them to do what? To eat from this tree. To eat from this tree. And when they ate from this tree, Allah Azza wa Jal told them, get down. You've done the one thing I asked you not to do, now you have to get down from here. Jannah is no longer your dwelling place. Get down from here to the earth, for you will dwell there for a time. But they will come from me. They will come from me in your succeeding generations' guidance. And whosoever follows that guidance, they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve. And whosoever turns away from this guidance, then for them is a painful punishment. Now, did Allah Azza wa Jalla not already know that Adam and Eve were going to eat from this tree? Question, I'm asking, it's not rhetorical. Did Allah already know Adam and Eve would eat from this tree?
Yes.
Allah knows everything. Allah knows everything. Allah knew before creating anything that He was going to put that tree in Jannah, He was going to place Adam and Eve there, and they would partake of that which He told them not to do. He knew it. Remember, Allah told the angels, إِنِّي عَلَّمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you don't know. Now, when Adam and Eve alayhi salam ate from this tree, and they got down, Allah Azza wa Jal taught them something. And this became the most important thing human beings would ever learn. What Allah taught Adam and Eve at this point became the most important thing human beings would ever learn. What did he teach them?
Names of things.
No, that was before. That was before he got down. What did he teach them after they ate from the tree? He taught them some words. What were those words? Anybody in here know? My Lord, I have wronged my own soul. If you do not forgive me and have mercy upon me, indeed I will be one of the losers. You see, brothers and sisters, this is it. That is it. This is the most important thing that will ever be taught to humanity. Do you know why? Do you know why this is the most important thing humanity would ever learn? Because without those words, humanity would never have a chance to go back to where we started. We began in Jannah, and without those words, we would never go back. Without those words, we could never go back. Because Allah says, once the sin has been committed, this place is no longer for you. Once you've made the mistake, Jannah is for the pure. Jannah is for the pure. So get down from here. But I will show you how to get back.